Kristen.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm just hanging out at my friend Kristen's house.
What do you think about doing tonight?
Well, I was kind of thinking about doing something sneaky.
Ooh, I love a little sneaky action.
I knew you would. And my sneaky desire had everything to do with you and a microphone.
Ooh, me and you and a microphone and something sneaky?
Uh-huh. I was thinking we did a surprise podcast for everyone.
Ooh, I love a little sneaky surprise podcast. Can't even talk tonight. Sneaky surprise podcast.
So here we are.
Here we are. Oh my goodness. Guess what we have?
What?
One more day of 2016.
Oh my gosh. That's unbelievable.
I know.
That is unbelievable.
How's your year been?
Wow.
Right?
It has been a year. I have to say, it has been a roller coaster of a year, and it's gone by really fast. And it's been a melding pot of a lot of different things, like joyous and blissful and abundant and incredible and triggering and moving and heavy and transformative. All the things.
All the things.
How about you?
Life keeps giving. Wow. A lot of adventure. And yet, you know, honestly, I feel like I've had a lot of adventure and a lot of creativity, and yet I feel like it has actually been one of my more stabilizing years. A year that, like, I've had many years that had, like, so much travel of being in a different city, what feels like almost every week, and I actually feel like this year had a lot of, like, deep comforts for me. So there was this, and a real sense of being on purpose.
Yes.
You know, of like deeply doing on the planet what I know I'm meant to do.
Yes.
Which I feel extremely grateful for. So, yeah, so all those things.
Yeah.
A real, I think, kind of like coming back to my deepest self, my original self, my most kind of like even primal self. A lot of, I feel like kind of like as I go, what happens more is more stripping back of things that aren't me.
Yes.
To rediscover who I really am.
I think that what ended up happening over the year with Create and with our teaching is so much of the time we ended up teaching on conditioning. So much of the time we were drawn to the idea that who we are is different than what we've learned.
Yes.
And who we are is maybe different than where we've come from and what we've come to believe is the truth. And a lot of, I think, what we've both been drawn to teaching is what happens when you tear away the conditioning, and sometimes it's a painful process, and sometimes it's really comforting.
Yeah.
It can actually manifest in lots of different forms to come back to yourself, but I think that's been the gift of watching our community this year, is watching a community of people sort of face the fear of taking down that wall or taking down that mask or taking down that betrayal of the tribe and actually sort of facing it head on and then finding that they were so much more capable than they ever knew they were and finding that it was actually easier and more fun than they ever knew it could be as well, because it just feels so good to be free.
And isn't it interesting to realize that there is freedom possible where you didn't even know that you were holding yourself into certain kind of shackles?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, this summer you and I read so much Osho, and
let's face it, I'm still reading a lot of Osho.
I mean, he's so good.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, he's the gift that keeps on giving. And so much of him is just pointing out how it's our judgments that enslave us.
Yeah.
And like, oh, well, what if you didn't judge that? Well, what if you didn't have to have an opinion upon that?
Yeah.
You know, what if you could just be one with existence? What if existence knows what it's doing? And so I think it was really fun just to see, like, oh, what's happening for me right now? Oh, I have a judgment about myself. I didn't even realize I had a judgment.
Yeah.
Well, who am I if I take that judgment off? Oh, I'm free.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, a real, like, fun part of this year was, and fun and tumultuous sometimes, but of the undoing of conditioning. And interestingly enough, for the world, 2016 has been a year. It has been a year. In a way, you know, I feel like 2016 was about taking the blinders off where we are as a country and what's going on. And, you know, it's funny. When we talk about removing conditioning, it's like you're looking and seeing, oh, I had a wound there I didn't even know I had, that had just, that where I had had a piece of like a limited belief on me or something that my parents told me or society told me that I had to do.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that in 2016, it's like we're ripping off these blinders and seeing where there are wounds,
yes,
where there's healing that needs to happen and where are there limiting beliefs.
Well, you know what I find is so fascinating on sort of, because I love to link things.
Mm-hmm.
I had burned my forearm with a curling iron this year, and it was like such a bad burn for no reason. And I remember kind of looking up the holistic way to deal with this, and it's like, put lavender on it. And so I remember just like throwing so much lavender on my arm night and day and night and day for weeks, and the wound never healed. And I was looking up, you know, why is the wound not healing? And ultimately what it was saying is, if you don't first let it scab and first let it do what it wants to do, because the body is self-correcting, if you try to put healing on top of healing, then all you do is heal on the surface, but deep inside the wound stays the wound. And so it doesn't actually ever heal all the way. And I think sometimes as a spiritual community, we want to throw lavender on everything. Do you know what I mean? And it's like the idea we talked a lot about this year of spiritual bypass,
yeah,
of I'm just going to love it all better. I'm going to meditate it all better. And I believe in those tools wholeheartedly. I believe that love heals. I believe meditation heals. But also that there is a call to really look at what is hurting and not try to just put the lavender on it right away.
Right.
And not just try to heal it right away. To actually look at it and say, here is a wound and here is hurt. And it's maybe easy for me as, you know, a little Canadian Caucasian girl to say, well, I didn't know it was this bad. But lots of people in this country are saying, I knew it was this bad because I'm a woman of color, or I'm in the gay community, or I'm, you know, I'm a Muslim person. And they're saying, no, we knew it was this bad. And now we have an opportunity to come together, all of us collectively, and we no longer can say we don't know how bad it is. And that actually gives an opportunity for healing truly and community truly. So I think that although 2016 has felt scary and hard and overwhelming and like it's a wound that can't possibly be healed, it is really only through all of us together now knowing how deep the wound is that we can all together say we're not standing for this anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, that's really the depth of shadow work. When we talk about, like, looking at our shadow is not being light that refuses to look at the shadow, or just, like, I'm going to, as you say, put the lavender over the shadow. But I'm so aware of light that I can go all the way into the darkness, right? That there, like, and if we think of our own personal lives, where in our lives is there upheaval or destruction or things we're even afraid of, that is an invitation when we start to build our spiritual muscles to know that we can go all the way into those places in our lives.
Yeah, because it's often that I think when something happens, and it comes up so much in relationships, right? Someone will do something and it feels hurtful to you, it feels harming to you. So you as a sort of light beam or a loving person or a spiritual person, you then make them wrong. You make them the perpetrator and then you transcend it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's not good for you and it's not good for them, because you know, anytime you are making someone else the perpetrator, we all know how bad it feels to be the victim, but it feels way worse to feel that you have been the perpetrator to someone. And so that's an interesting energy to look at.
And to feel that someone has projected you being a perpetrator upon them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I definitely have had that a couple times this year where I have been in some sort of situation with someone and could feel the projection. And I just wanted to be like, oh, I'm just here to love you. And I feel that there is a story created of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And I can feel the weight of this. So I'll just keep loving you and realize that it's a wall that gets built that doesn't actually need to get built.
Right. And it's like, is it Rumi or Ram Dass? Who says the quote that says, there's a field and I'll meet you there?
That's Rumi.
Outside right and wrong. And wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like I feel like what he's saying is the right and wrong is the story.
Yes.
And what he's saying is, if you are willing to walk outside of the story for me, walk outside of the story, I'm going to be over here in the space of freedom.
Yes.
And I will meet you there. But the more you try to make me wrong or I try to make you wrong, we can't get to the field because it's not available to us because we're stuck in the story.
Well, that makes me think of, in a way, how we don't even just do that in relationship. We do that with ourselves, judging ourselves in our lives in terms of right and wrong. Mm. Like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be in my career. I should have more money. And I just revisited Byron Katie's work and her book, Loving What Is, which is all about taking away the story around what we're using to judge either ourselves or other people.
Right.
So it's like fully dismantling the right or wrong and going into the space of the field.
Which is also why I hate New Year's resolutions. And we were talking about this the other day, that to me, a New Year's resolution feels like I'm going to take inventory of all the ways I have failed this year, and then I'm going to make a resolution of how I'm not going to fail anymore. And it's like, if you were like a sweet baby child and your parents sat you down and said, you suck at this, you were bad at this, I hated when you did this, you can't do this right, like never do this again. And then you were like, okay, now I'm going to go live my life and try to be positively motivated. Like, it's actually impossible. From a psychological perspective, we know that it's impossible to motivate to a negative goal. So even the concept that you are going to make a New Year's resolution, you are going to come to a place where you are going to think of all the ways you can be better, is so damaging. And it's so part of the story of not here yet.
That's exactly right.
My dreams aren't here yet. I'm not who I want to be yet. I'm not ready. So it's like you can tell that story all day long, but your dream is like waiting in the wings being like, well, the minute you're ready, I'm going to be here because I was born ready.
That's right.
And I think it's a really fun opportunity for us, instead of setting New Year's resolutions, to set, I mean, you and I have the fun practice of what's our word for the year?
Yeah.
What's our words for the year? And last year I chose that I was going to be a power receiver. And what that meant for me was that I was going to be comfortable receiving. Because I think we all think we're ready to receive. But I know for myself, I ended up always in the position of I'm way more comfortable giving to you and knowing that you're going to have a great time and knowing that you're going to have the best of everything. And then as soon as you have it, then I'll have it. But it was a real practice for me this year to say, I get to have it and you get to have it. And there's no or situation here. So I'm going to receive powerfully. And I do have to say, I received like a, you know.
Like a mother.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yes.
And so now moving into this year, and we have the same word this year.
I know.
Which is so exciting. We are going to step into the year of the goddess.
That's right. Which is interesting because I feel like the divine feminine is such a space of power and of beauty and of receiving and intuition and moving through the world, realizing that your pleasure is important, you know, that your heart knows what is best for you. And we were raised in such a world where so much influence and importance was put on the masculine,
mm-hmm.
that to come back to our power inside the divine feminine can really be life-changing, because of we often discount those places inside of us where when we fill ourselves up completely, how it does give to other people. And I do think that that is a something that we were taught as women, is how to fill up everyone else first and how to like be of service and deflect. And I think that it takes a lot of reprogramming to say, I'm a goddess.
Yeah.
I will treat myself as a goddess.
Yeah.
I will follow my heart. I will follow my pleasure. And I know what is good for me is good for all.
And even for the men in our world, embracing the goddess energy is such a vital thing. And actually, someone who did embrace the goddess energy is Obama.
Uh-huh.
He is someone who was a listener, and he was someone who was receptive to new ideas. And so we know these men in our lives that really embody a quality of beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
They embody a quality of
the community.
The community of surrendering to something bigger than themselves.
I feel like the Dalai Lama is someone who is very balanced in his masculine and feminine.
Yeah. And even Osho, I mean, I love reading Osho's books because he's so opinionated and he's such a straight shooter and almost has that like very like direct masculine quality. But he is not afraid of really just sitting back and listening to the heart. And it's an interesting thing because in yoga mudra, which is yoga for the hands, the left hand, the feminine, is always on the bottom. And what that means is you always start with the feminine because the feminine energy is actually the strongest supporting energy. So the masculine energy is always going to be the thing that's going to go out and make it happen. But without that foundational support of the feminine, then it's all going to be like a house built on sand.
That's exactly right. And I always feel like action, that masculine driven action is empty and will lead to burnout if it doesn't come from a place of inspiration and intuition, the feminine. So it's in that feminine energy that we really hear and we listen and we attune to, like the deep wisdom, the deep knowing inside of us.
Yeah.
And then we can pass things over into our masculine energy so that the purpose that we're serving is the right action at the right time.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's so important is so many of us are taking all the action. It's like I'm doing all the things and our schedules are so hectic and so busy and we assume that the gateway to success is more and bigger and better. It was actually funny. I was on the plane the other day and I had a really crazy travel experience, like delayed flights and canceled flights and I missed a flight and I was stuck in customs and my luggage got lost and it was all the things. And I would love to say I handled it like a true spiritual warrior, but actually how I handled it is I found a little cubby in a construction zone at the airport and called Kristen sobbing. I'm so sad.
I was like, you're very brave for feeling all your feelings.
You really were. oh my gosh, where was I going with that? Yes, I know. I remember. So I got on the plane and it's like, I finally
less
got on
more.
The plane and I was reading a book called Presence Over Perfection. And the guy beside me was reading a book called like Better, Smarter, Faster or something along those lines. And it was like the perfect embodiment of the masculine and feminine energy. But it was actually interesting because what I was thinking to myself is, doesn't it often take a tragedy or getting overwhelmed or feeling like life is too much or something really bad happening for us to remember to connect to the feminine? Don't we connect to the masculine so much more easily? So it's not to say that both energies are not equally important. It's just to say that we mustn't cut ourselves off from both of our yin and our yang spirit and energy. And we mustn't only ever go to our feminine energy from a place of now I feel broken and I need to be comforted. Because I think that yes, the feminine energy is such a great gift when you are down in the dumps, but I wonder what the feminine energy can do through us when we go to it from a place of wholeness and readiness.
100%. I feel like that's what, for me, directing is all about is, let me get hold on, there's a decision to be made. Let me get still. Let me plug in. Let me hear. Let me see what wants to happen. And that knowing that when I don't do that,
yes,
is when I screw myself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it is interesting because when we talk about conditioning, we have been taught that to accomplish a lot and to be productive has all this value, which is where I think that we overcompensate in our masculine energy. And I think the secret is if we can get still and tap into the feminine, we'll always know the right action. So I try to train myself just even in my, and I'm always having to be vigilant of this. Did I say that right?
Vigilant.
Vigilant. That's it.
I was like,
I'm so close.
I was like, it sounds so right.
Yeah. Is to notice where I will have a list of what I think I need to accomplish throughout the day, but what I remind myself to do is to tap in and say, what is the action that you would like me to take now?
Mm.
And wait and listen before I get a response before I take action.
And often, do you know what I really believe? Because we were created by a creator, is I believe that it's like we all have the circles of what I should do, what I have to do, and what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think when we connect more to the what I want to do, then I really always think that those desires are in alignment with what wants to happen.
Of course, and what we talk about all the time is desire is life asking for itself. So if the universe wants an action to be taken, the quickest way for it to talk to us is through our heart.
Yeah.
And because when we were children, we were taught that it was selfish to do what we want to do, or you do that after your room got clean, that we're constantly putting all of these like should and have to's in front of the wants. Maybe something that we could all play with for a week, for a month, is what happens when we do all the want to's first, right?
Yes.
So we don't even prioritize it like after I do my emails and wash my dishes, like, What if the want to's lead us?
Yes.
For the top of 2017. Because really what will happen if we let our want to's lead us will be brighter, will be more vibrant, we'll have more energy, and that will carry into every area of our life.
Yes. It's almost like January, February, because I used to be a fitness instructor. January, February, March are like the busiest months at the gym, right? Like everyone's at the gym and everyone looks tired and miserable and unhappy and upset. And it's almost like what I would want to say to everyone is you're here doing, you know, whatever really difficult workout today. And probably tomorrow you're going to do the same one and the next day the same one because you're, you know, you're on your after Christmas diet. But what I would suggest is if you tune into what your body wants you to do. Maybe today it's a restorative yoga, and maybe the next day it's a walk in the park, and maybe the next day it is that hard workout, and then the next day it's a different thing, and the next day it's a different thing, that I guarantee you, if you listen to the intuition of your body, then your body will find its balance and equilibrium faster and easier than with you doing all of the hard, rajasic, masculine workouts.
That's exactly right.
It's really about, can I tune in, can I listen, and can I know that if I'm really listening to the wisdom of my body, then that is always going to be the fastest, the easiest, the path of least resistance.
And the same thing in terms of our to-do list. Like, I was listening to this great Rob Bell podcast, and he was talking about to this guy who was a writer on Dexter, and he was talking, who started studying to be a youth pastor, but just happened to love Quentin Tarantino films.
Love it.
And let his love for Quentin Tarantino films take him to LA.
Mm.
And he said he used to always feel guilty that he loved watching movies.
Mm.
But isn't that interesting? It was actually the whisper of life saying, you're meant to be in this field.
Yeah.
You're meant to go here.
Yeah.
And he had to like let go of him saying it wasn't okay for him to, like, spend time watching movies because that's what he loved.
Well, isn't it the actor thing of the minute you book a vacation, you book a job?
Uh-huh.
Because it's like the minute you stop holding on so tight and you stop being so in that masculine, I have to be on it, I have to do all the things, as soon as you let go and go, oh my gosh, I just need a vacation, and you get in your feminine energy of how fun it's going to be on that vacation and all the things you're going to do on that vacation, and you're daydreaming and you're in your joy and you're in your bliss and you're packing your suitcase, you book a job.
100% every time.
So what if we always started with the feminine and let the feminine inform the masculine? What if our dreams could come to us because they're already us? They're already here with us.
And what if we really let our heart, our intuition be our guide? What if they actually come to us faster?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that we don't realize sometimes putting these like have-tos and should-dos, we're creating this like busy work for ourselves that actually keeps us out of connection and then further off our path, so it delays our dream.
And isn't that what the ego wants the most?
Ooh,
Let me keep you exactly where you are, away from your dreams, so you can be small and I get to stay intact.
Right, and then you get to stay in victim consciousness of why doesn't it happen to me?
Yeah.
And you stay out of your joy.
Yeah. So what if whatever our words of the year are, can we all decide that this is the year that we embody joy and bliss? The word in yoga is ananda, mm-hmm. like getting into that joy body, that juicy energy when you're in flow with life, not fighting against it. That what if it doesn't have to be so hard? What if it's not uphill? What if it's actually the best toboggan down the hill ever that you could ever possibly imagine, with the most rad ski jump at the end, and you could fly? What if that is a possibility and you just have to open your eyes to it?
Yes, and you get to let love lead you. You get to let your heart lead you. You get to let the joy, the passion, the things that naturally charm you be the thing that you follow.
Mm. In the Vedic philosophy, which is one of the yoga philosophies, they always talk about follow your charm.
Yes.
Follow your bliss, Joseph Campbell. It's like...
My Vedic meditation teacher used to say, follow the things that charm you.
Yeah. Yeah, so what if that's our goal this year? That instead of spending these first 3 weeks of January saying, I've been on vacation, I have to send the mailers and get the new headshots and do all the things, what if we said, my number one job is to listen? I am going to listen to my heart. I am going to listen to my soul. I am going to be quiet every single day. Whatever that looks like, that can be meditation or journaling. That could be chanting. That could be staring out your window or spending a walk in nature. That could be just being kind and really connecting and looking to the eyes of your barista. Whatever it looks like for you, let's get still. Let's get quiet. And when the whole rest of the world starts moving around like crazy, let's look at them as the moving target that's moving so fast that their dreams can't even possibly hit them. Ooh. And let's just be so still, so we say to our dreams, we are right here and we are ready.
I'm all for that.
Let's do that.
Let's exactly do that.
Yeah.
It makes me think, and maybe I'll just pull it up here real quick.
I was hoping you would.
Oh, well, I actually wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, you know, that follow your bliss, Joseph Campbell poem that I love, just felt like I wanted to read.
We love Joseph Campbell.
It's this one.
Here we go.
Follow your bliss. If you do follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while waiting for you. And the life you ought to be living is the one that you are living. When you can see that, you meet people who are in the field of your bliss, and they open the doors to you. I say, follow your bliss and don't be afraid, and doors will open where you didn't know they were going to be. If you follow your bliss, doors will open for you that wouldn't have opened for anyone else.
Ooh. So all the doors we are banging down are not our doors. Let us sit back and allow that door to be revealed to us, and allow 2017 to be the year of it coming to us. We are not going to make it happen. We are going to welcome it in, as our boyfriend Beckwith says.
All right. And on that note,
ooh,
Natalie and I are going to go follow our hearts and follow our bliss.
That's right.
And just go have a little date.
We're going to go have a little girl's date. It's going to be heaven. So thanks for listening to our surprise podcast. And we hope you have the most magical new year. And we cannot wait to see where this adventure leads all of us.
Yes. I can't wait to hear what happens when you follow your heart.
Ooh.
Go be little sneaky elves out there.
Yes. Have so much fun. We love you so. Bye.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!